Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. He's Adam Harahuck. I'm Sean Cantwell. Back safely within the confines of our studio in lovely downtown Lapeer after a fun week out at the Eastern Michigan State Fair.
That was a great time. Big shout out to Ian, everybody.
Ian Kemp puts on one heck of a festival, I have to say. Appreciate him coming on, talking about it all on Friday's show.
Tight ship. He runs a tight ship. He does a really good job.
Absolutely.
And Eddie from TGV and basically Santa Lake Broadcasting for hanging out with us. The folks from Vehicle City Sound. It was a star-studded affair.
Truly was. And then there was us.
Yeah, right? To bring the party down. We couldn't make it too awesome.
Well, of course not. That would just be... the world couldn't handle that much awesomeness gathered all in one place.
No, but it's fun. We are going back out on the road next Friday. Not this Friday, but next Friday.
Yes.
We're in Sandusky. And then we're going to be outside for Lapeer Days, Friday and Saturday.
Well, correction, I'm going to be outside for Lapeer Days. Well, I guess you're going to be outside for Lapeer Days, but you're going to be gallivanting about on the West Stage.
Just for an hour and a half, and I could shoot on by and, you know, maybe do a live extra sessions on that Friday. Well, I think so. I think I've got a guest coming in. I better figure that out, shouldn't I?
Yeah, might want to. Apparently, we're either Eddie or Nick from WMIC and WTGV might be crashing the party that day, and that's fine, because I might just have a new co-host by the time you get back.
Oh, mister, I have to go to Wisconsin or wherever you go all the time.
And I always get a show in, do I not?
Yeah, you do. Yeah. Hey, we can do it. We can pre-record a show. We're broadcasting live from Lapeer Days, but it's a pre-recorded show. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun.
That's our Adam.
Wah-wah. No, because
this is the only time slot they had open for you was in the middle of this show.
Yes. 3:30 to 5, we're opening for a karate demonstration. Yeah, that's how you know you made it, folks.
Adam's hit the big time.
Reminds me of Spinal Tap. Now, we've talked about this. You have seen Spinal Tap.
Yes,
right?
I have.
Okay. There's like, I don't know how many times I told them that we're the puppet show before us. We're not opening for the puppet show. That was such a great movie. They're making a new one.
Are they?
Yeah, they started filming a new Spinal Tap movie, kind of like a catching up after 40-some years.
I'm kind of intrigued.
Yeah. I mean, what kind of things would they get into? Like modern, like before it was like getting lost under the stage, equipment not working. What would it be like? Now, I picture this one scenario, and I think it'd be hilarious if they did it. If Spinal Tap is playing one of those festivals, and they're on stage, and there's like 100 people on the grounds watching them. Because that's everybody else in the festival is on the other side of the grounds watching a Spinal Tap tribute act.
You know, I can see this. Except that, you know, in reality, they all be on the other side of the grounds watching a DJ pressing keys on a laptop.
Yeah. Yeah. To, like, Big Bottom and Hellhole.
That's about how that would probably go in reality.
No, I mean, they could have, like, a Spinal Tap tribute act with, like, you know, Bradley Cooper. Have him involved. Jack Black, since he's not doing Tenacious D at the moment. He's got time to kill.
Yeah, well, That whole thing, that's a whole topic for another day, probably. But
for another show, that's not really our kind of our bag.
I just found it kind of interesting. I mean, I'm not surprised that went down the way it did, I have to say, just because, you know, I feel like that's not like him and Kyle having a real falling out. Kyle quit the band again or whatever.
Right.
But, you know, just some agents were involved. Say, you might want to lay low and let back off of this for right now. Because you're acting in a bunch of, you know, you've got Kung Fu Panda 5 to think about.
Yeah, he wants to get that voiceover money. He's probably
it's easy money. That's why.
All he has to do is get up there, yell in the mic, say things like "Bring the Thunder," and they just back a Briggs truck of money up to him.
Exactly. I'll bet you Kyle's sitting there in the background like, yeah, go you distance yourself from me. Do what you need to do, because quite honestly, I don't have much of a career if you kill your career.
Right, right.
Like, his career is completely inextricably tied to Jack Black.
Why do I get the feeling that Jack was just waiting for Kyle to do something, anything, where he could just jettison him?
I don't think that.
Kyle makes that one flippant comment. Well, not a flippant comment. It was a joke about Trump getting shot at. he makes a joke, and, you know, Jack Black's just like, I'm free. I can get rid of this albatross around my neck.
I don't feel like that's necessarily the case. I feel like he probably enjoys doing that more than he does, you know, the voiceover stuff and all the cartoons and whatnot like that. But that's bigger money that gives him the freedom to do this other stuff and makes people care enough about him to continue, you know, booking them at places and making them money doing that.
We'll see.
It's kind of a, you know, it's kind of a catch 22 thing. Like, he needs the other work to keep people really interested and caring about and, you know, booking his thing, booking the D at larger venues, but yet that's also a double-edged sword because something he says over here could affect his ability to make money his real here. Money doing other stuff.
Yeah, that's true. So they need to get it together because Spinal Tap needs to go on tour. This movie comes out. It should be Spinal Tap, Tenacious D, Steel Panther. I think that'd be a great show.
I would pay top dollar for that tour.
Yeah.
in a heartbeat. Absolutely I would. I would love that. You can't tell me that thing wouldn't sell out arenas across this great nation of ours.
Just to watch Spinal Tap, Kevin, the guy in my band, he saw them in 92 when they actually went on tour. And they play their own instruments, and they are fantastic musicians. They really are.
Oh, they are. Absolutely. Great musicians, funny dudes. Like, this might be the one movie that honestly... the sequel to a movie of this sort that I would actually go watch.
That'd be fun.
Like, because it seems like a lot of those movies from back then, when you try and, you know, make sequels to them, all I'm saying is Blues Brothers 2000.
Yeah, I think Rolling Stone magazine or somebody came out with the worst sequels in history. I'll have to look and see if I can find that. But Blues Brothers 2000 is on there. It can't rake any lower than Caddyshack 2. That was that movie was so bad, I was angry.
I'll be honest, sometimes I forget that there was a Caddyshack 2.
That's because you mentally blocked it out.
You know what? I think I know what we're doing in the next segment now.
Okay.
I promise we will get to some Tigers pre-deadline talk coming up as well, but you've sent me down a rabbit hole that there is no getting out of unless we do a fun round of This List is Trash, and we're going to do it next. A lot of stuff to get to today. It is happy hour. Stick around. We'll be back right after this. Congratulations, Adam. You played yourself. We started talking about bad movie sequels, and you managed to get this thing turned right into another installment of your favorite bit we do. This List is Trash.
I know. It was something I would torture you with. Now, all of a sudden, the monster has turned on its creator.
Pretty much. Well, because the apparently the creator just decided to stop doing show prep, so here we are.
It's not even Friday.
So? What's your point?
I'll have another list.
All right. Well, then let's get on a list that may or may not be trash. The category, as already established, is the 20 most disappointing movie sequels of all time.
We could have easily done a top 500 because very rarely does a sequel do as good as the original. I mean... there's Empire Strikes Back and Godfather Part 2.
Yeah, that's about it. Not a whole lot else, really.
No, not really. I mean, there was that one year where Shrek 2 and Spider-Man 2 were pretty good, but...
yeah, I'll grade those.
Yeah. All right, so these are sequels of big movies that came out that just flopped.
Correct. And I couldn't go with the Rotten Tomatoes or IMDb route because they wanted to give me sequels to movies like Atlas Shrugged that no one has ever watched.
I've never seen Atlas Shrugged.
Same. Yeah. Like, there was at least two or three movies on each of these that I don't think I've heard of the original. So we went with the Rolling Stone list of the most disappointing movie sequels.
Oh, number one, I'm calling my shot. Number one is Caddyshack 2.
Well, I'll tell you this much. Caddyshack 2 is absolutely not number one. And furthermore, you're going to be very disappointed by this.
What?
It doesn't look like it's even in the top 20.
Well, then they've never seen that pile of crap.
Because no one's seen it.
It was horrible. And a great cast. I think Chevy Chase was back. Randy Quaid was in it.
Probably didn't they replace Rodney Dangerfield with Jackie Mason?
Yeah, Jackie Mason. Yeah, not even close. Not even close. I mean, there was like, they turned the golf course into a putt-putt golf course kind of thing. And I don't even know. I'm getting so angry just talking about
just
it.
Just even thinking about that movie. That's fair.
How about Blair Witch Project 2?
they made a Blair Witch Project too?
Yes, they did.
I didn't know this, but I know it's definitely not on the list.
Huh. All right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in.
Good night, everybody.
Oh. Blues Brothers 2000 has got to be on there.
Blues Brothers 2000 makes it in at number 20.
All right.
That's right. They think somehow there's 19 movies that were worse, 19 sequels that were worse than Blues Brothers 2000. I'm sorry. That franchise, truth be told, should have died with John Belushi.
There was no franchise. It was just a movie. It was its own standalone thing. And yeah, I mean, and John Goodman. I love John Goodman. But
I love John Goodman and damn near anything he's ever been in, but yeah. It just didn't need to happen. Then we introduce a random kid in there somewhere, too, because, of course.
Got to have a kid in there for kid appeal.
Kids don't even want to see other kids on screen. Sorry. And kids weren't going to see that movie.
How about Gremlins 2?
Gremlins 2 is not on the list.
All right. Are there any sequels to horror movies on there? Because that's always a fun one.
There is, I believe, exactly one.
One? Wow.
It's from 1977.
Oh, Exorcist 2.
Exorcist 2 comes in at number 10.
Yes. Well, how are you going to top the original Exorcist?
You're not. And they didn't.
No. No, they've tried to do like prequels and stuff like that. And it's like, no, just stop.
Like, no one involved with the first one wanted to be involved with it other than Linda Blair, probably because what else was she going to do?
Yeah, just a bunch of topless scenes in prison movies.
Basically.
I just had one. Oh, I don't know if I agree with this one, but it might make the list. Major League 2.
Major League 2 probably should make the list, but it does not. Now you could absolutely make an argument that Major League 3 should be on this list somewhere.
Oh my God. Oh, I just threw up my mouth when I thought
I know, about, we tried not to acknowledge it. Major League 2 comes in at 28.
What about Slapshot 2?
You know, I don't think that there's a sports movie in the top 20.
Oh, God. I mean, Slapshot was a classic. Slapshot 2 had Stephen Baldwin in it. Right there, you're on a slippery slope. And then you've got the Hanson brothers in there for like a 30 seconds. The only funny part about that movie is they really get into like the neurotic nuances of goalies. It's where like the goalie's got to flush the toilet 7 times. He comes out of the bathroom one time and one of the defensemen's like, "Are you sure you flushed it 7 times?" He's like, "Bam, guys," are cussing his fool head off and goes in there and says to flush the toilet. I guess I'm gonna need some hints.
All right, so let's see. Number 19 came out in 2016. Sequel to a movie that came out in 96 that was the highest grossing movie that year. I didn't even know that they made a sequel to this movie.
Oh, Titanic 2?
Yes, Titanic 2, because there were so many loose ends he had to be tied up.
There was a Titanic 2.
What? Yes, you're making this up.
No, I am not. There was, I was like...
Like, you mean like Titanic 2, the movie, or Titanic 2, the boat?
No, Titanic 2. I think they tried to do it like, here's another story that happened on the boat at the very same time with like not as good costumes, not a good set, because, you know, they can't. They built like an actual boat for the first Titanic and sank that son. Yeah. So I don't know. I know which one you're talking about. You're talking, oh, God, that POS. Speed 2.
Speed 2 is, in fact, on the list. Speed 2 Cruise Control comes in at number of... I swear I just saw it on this list.
This boat cannot go under 50 knots an hour.
Something ridiculous. I thought it was on this list. Was it not? Really? Yes, it was. Number 6.
I was going to say.
That was terrible. My
Sandra Bullock's like, yeah, I'll do it. What the hell? Keanu Reeves, he's had a questionable career. He's great movies now, but every once in a while.
Right, like he made some terrible sequels to other movies. Like, how many John Wicks have we had at this point? Did we need additional Bill and Ted's? But
the second one is awesome.
Fair, but do we need a third?
Third one was horrible.
And even he was like, nope, I ain't doing a Speed 2.
Yeah, Keanu Reeves did not change facial expression through the entire movie. And then they're like, oh, you know, okay, I'm getting off on a tangent here. I apologize, folks.
No, you don't. You don't apologize in the slightest.
All right, give me another hint.
It's the biggest movie in 1996.
I thought
they didn't bring back the star of the movie.
I thought you were talking about. I thought that was Speed.
Okay. They brought back everybody but Will Smith.
Oh, Independence Day.
Yes, Independence Day Resurgence.
Resurgence.
I didn't realize they made a second one of those.
Okay, one of the Terminators has got to be on there then, right?
Because
Terminator 2 was badass. Yeah, but
Terminator Salvation comes in at number 17.
Is that one with Christian Bale? Is that
it
one?
Is.
That's what he was filming, where he just goes off, and they got a hot mic on him. He just goes off on somebody that walked into the shot.
Yep.
Oh, that's comedy gold. It wasn't supposed to be comedy, but oh, that is so
honestly,
comedy.
It's more entertaining than the movie itself.
Oh my God. No other horror movies. That's weird because they love doing sequels that are just absolutely dog blank. You know what I'm talking about. All right.
Number 18 is a Pixar movie.
Pixar. Oh my God. I mean. The one with the toys.
Not Toy Story.
Toy Story, okay, not Toy Story.
But similarly with a lot of inanimate objects.
Cars?
Cars 2 comes in, number 18.
Yeah, it's like, it's Cars 8. Lightning McQueen needs an oil change. Radiator, muffler shot. Not muffler shot, I do it. Oh, no. There's a gasket problem. We're just going to have to put him in the record salvage yard. That's where Lightning McQueen's story ends.
Indeed. Number 16, superhero movie from the 80s. Actually, there's a few superhero movies on here.
Oh, my Lord. Okay. Batman and Robin from 1996 has got to be in there.
Batman and Robin comes in at number 11.
Oh, my God. I watched that movie in the theater, and I walked away going, no, I felt like an abuse victim. I'm like, no, I liked it. I liked it. And then finally, one day I woke up, I'm like, really? Bat nipples? You're putting nipples on the bat suit? This is total garbage.
Yeah, no one asked for this.
80s movie. Did they put Ghostbusters 2 on there, did they?
Did they put Ghostbusters 2 on here?
I like Ghostbusters 2.
I don't think they did, no. They did not. And that's, Ghostbusters 2 wasn't bad. There were several after that were awful, but.
Well, the one with Kate McKinnon and Leslie Jones and Melissa McCarthy. It wasn't their fault. The great cast, but it was just bad writing. It was just a bad movie. Bad movie.
Right. So number 16 is in the same cinematic universe, you know, just several years earlier.
As Ghostbusters?
No, as Batman.
Batman.
So it's
Superman,
DC movie.
Batman Returns.
Superman 4, close enough.
Superman 4, okay.
I forgot there was a Superman 4.
Is that the one where he fought Clubber Lang or something like that?
Maybe.
Don't know. Clubber.
It might have been.
No,
it's not the one where
Rocky 3 was Clubber Lang.
It wasn't the one where they cast Richard Pryor. I know that much. Whoa, you said, wait, what was that you said? What
Rocky,
movie?
Rocky 2?
Rocky 5, close enough. Rocky 5. Number 13.
Oh, yeah, Rocky 5. Hey, I got a busted hip there, Mick.
So he doesn't fight anymore, but so he's now training some young kid. Like, no one cares.
Okay, was that like Balboa? It was like, it wasn't called Rocky Five, it was like called Balboa.
No,
or something.
That you think you're thinking comes a little after that. No. That,
how about
that
the next Karate Kid?
Is not
like
on the list.
Hilary Swank as which wasn't bad, but Actually, Karate Kid Part 3 sucked. Sucked out loud.
Never seen it.
Oh my God, it's horrible. Great cast, but it was just like, okay. Anyway.
All right, number 15.
Yeah.
HBO show that I didn't realize had a movie, much less two.
Sex and the City.
Sex and the City 2, number 15 on the list.
Sex and the City, they all get chlamydia.
I apologize to the makers
Jerry,
of Sex.
I got chlamydia. I've got chlamydia too. And here comes a Melissa Etheridge song. Come to my window, come get chlamydia.
All right. I was wrong. Number 14. There is indeed a movie on here that is of the sports genre.
Oh my!
It's a relatively recent, like it came out recently, but there's also cartoons in it.
Cartoons in the
sports movie, yeah. Come on, that should narrow it down for you. If you don't get this, you I'm just...
It's a, like a live-action movie, but they cut to cartoons?
Yes.
And it's a sequel.
Correct.
Sports movie.
Yeah.
What sport?
Good Lord! Basketball!
Oh, for God, I apologize. Yes, Space Jam.
You should apologize horrifically for this.
Space Jam. I tried to watch some of that, and I was just like, oh my God, LeBron James is really trying to, you know, he's trying to be Gary Oldman on this one.
Right, so we got to run through some of these real quick, because we are like just desperately running out of time.
I should have gone through farther with this.
Number 12 was Revenge of the Nerds 2.
Oh, okay. All right.
There was another Terminator movie, Terminator Dark Fate at number 9. The Hangover 3 at number 8.
That one sucked.
A Good Day to Die Hard at 7. Star Trek Nemesis at 5. Dumb and Dumber 2 at 4. Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull at 3. Yep. Highlander 2. And then Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker at number 1.
I'm not disagreeing with it. I'm just disappointed. As were everybody who bought a ticket.
Pretty much.
I love Star Wars, and even I'm like, what?
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that one. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. So I did threaten earlier to talk Tiger baseball because we are, as of, depending on when you're listening to this, we're about 24 or 26 hours from the trade deadline.
They made some moves.
They have made a couple moves. Carson Kelly is gone. The Dylan Dingler era has begun for whatever that might be worth, which I can't imagine is a whole lot.
Is he the cat from the Rangers?
Dylan Dingler?
Yeah.
No. We called him up from the minors.
Okay, because I heard that they made some trades, brought one or two people from the Texas Rangers.
And who that would be the Carson Kelly trade. We traded him to the Rangers and got back... I'm not sure. Who did we pick back up in that? Tyler Owens, who is a reliever. Then catcher Liam Hicks. Owens, 23 years old, 5'10", touches up to about 99 miles an hour with his fastball. His secondary pitches aren't much yet. He does have a 2.80 ERA in double-A ball this season, for what it's worth. His ceiling is basically set up, guy. And, you know, he could very well get there, but... probably a ways off from that yet. I mean, honestly, I would like to see better. The Blue Jays, of course, dealt Danny Jansen yesterday, and you could argue that Carson Kelly is more valuable than him, but Toronto got more back. I don't know if Scott Harris just sat on this one for too long or what, but there's really not a whole lot of to say about what you're getting back here. Like, high ceiling potentially, but... there's a lot of work between here and there to be done. So he gets traded. There's been a bunch of moves that have happened that are not necessarily roster moves of that sort. So Dylan Dingler has been called up. Javi Baez is currently back on the medical emergency list. And Ryan Kreidler, it looks like, has been called up as well. Who has been basically the guy that they call up whenever... Baez is out for any amount of time this season. When he missed time earlier in the year, that was the guy that they called up. Then you've also got there was another move made somewhere, or another roster shakeup of sorts. Okay, it was Casey Mize getting placed on the 60-day DL. Brian Sammons got selected from AAA Toledo. He's been called up. He's a left-handed. Presumably reliever. Easton Lucas gets sent down to AAA Toledo. And we have a bullpen game tonight.
Oh.
The fourth one in the last 7 games. Apparently we just have no starters left. Jack Flaherty got pulled from his start. I believe he was supposed to start tonight. And apparently, nope. You're getting a bullpen day. Bo Breeski gets the start, such as it is. Like, you're pretty much packing it in. Like, and the reason it seems like Flaherty got pulled... would appear to have something to do with the fact that the Padres have expressed interest in Flaherty, according to The Athletic. There's also a rumor that the Astros were kicking the tires on him as well. He was supposed to start tonight. That's not happening now. The Padres have had an odd year. They, remember, traded Juan Soto to the Yankees. Seemed like that was a sign that they were blowing this thing up. And then now, after that, they went and traded for Luis Arraez, and are now all of a sudden buyers again at the deadline. Like, then why'd you get rid of Soto? But, you know, that's just kind of how these things go sometimes. What kind of return you're going to get from, hard to say. I mean, you could see some combination of guys like Graham Pauly, who is primarily a third baseman in their system. If Isaiah Lowe, who I believe is a back-end starter potentially, he's already, you know, kind of aged out of single-A ball, but that's currently where he is. Like, I don't know what the return you're really ultimately going to get for this guy. That brings us, however, to one Tarek Skubal, where we're hearing several competing narratives on this from people who are connected in MLB. The first being from MLB Network's John Paul Morosi, a former Free Press writer. He was on Detroit radio this afternoon saying that there is still very much a there's about 50-50 chance that Baltimore ends up acquiring Skubal. And he also said that you might get as many as 4 or 5 prospects back in return for him, but you also might have more than one player going Baltimore's way. So he seems to think that there's a possibility this will still happen, and if it does happen, this we're talking a massive blockbuster deal, because that's what Scott Harris is seemingly holding out for. Meanwhile, Cody Stavenhagen at The Athletic, who's the Tigers beat writer for that website, had posted earlier today that a rival MLB executive had said of Skubal, he ain't going anywhere. So trying to parse the tea leaves of all of this has gotten rather tricky ahead of the deadline at 6 o'clock tomorrow. It's, man, it is rather interesting of where we're currently at on all this. I don't know what to expect.
I hope they don't get rid of Skubal. I mean, I shouldn't say get rid of him. They shouldn't trade him. But, I mean, if you're getting enough something you can build your team on, then I guess there's a couple questions on there. How long does Skubal have on his contract?
Skubal's got another 2.5 seasons.
Yeah, that's a lot to work with. I don't know. What would it take for you to let Skubal go? I think we talked about this last week, but
we did. Bare minimum. I need Jackson Holliday. And that is the non-negotiable. You are absolutely giving up Jackson Holliday if you want to even think about us getting rid of Tarek Skubal. I'm not okay with anything less than any package that does not include him. We've established number one prospect in the country, middle infield prospect who swings a pretty decent bat, or at least has at the minor league level. But that is the first thing I absolutely need. And as well as, I would take Cody Mayo as well, who plays the corner infield positions. Like, I would need two of those. I would certainly accept if, who's the catcher in their system? Sammy Basalo. If he gets included, I'm not mad at it. But Cody Mayo and Jackson Holliday have to be bare minimum included in this for me to even not hang up the phone on Mike Elias. Because once you get from there, like, those are three of the top prospects really on any team. Like, Holliday ranks number one overall, Basalo is 13th, and Kobe Mayo ranks 15th among all MLB teams. And the drop-off from there, there is a little bit. Those are the only three guys that make the top 100. I would really like to see a move that brings two of their top three prospects over here. And then from there, you can, you know, negotiate from there, whether whether it's an Enrique Bradfield Jr. outfield prospect or a Connor Norby or, you know, whoever. Like, pitching doesn't seem like it's a particularly great need. If it is, Chase McDermott's probably your guy. But I need to be blown away by a deal to give up. You're giving away a guy who's having a Cy Young season, who has 2.5 years of team control left. You don't let those guys go for peanuts. You don't let those go for anything less than the best prospect or two of the three best prospects in a team system.
Yeah.
That's my bare minimum. And if Baltimore is desperate enough for that top line starter, then they'll pay up. I know they did make a move for a pitcher, I believe, earlier this week, drawing a blank on who it was. Was it? I'm drawing a blank on it, but I know they've made a move in the last, or we're certainly looking to make a move to acquire somebody, but they know that this is the guy. Like, this is the best pitcher that's potentially on the free agent market. There's absolutely no doubt about that right now. Like, he's about as good as you've got, and as good as you're going to get. And to have that kind of, that to have that guy under team control for the next 2.5 seasons, while you're very much in a position to try and make, you know, try to win a World Series, and you're currently far and away ahead of everybody in the AL East, despite the fact that at present your starting pitching has been, but beyond Corbin Burnes, has just been kind of okay. Like, you've only got one guy who's below a 3.60 ERA, that'd be the aforementioned Burnes, that's a regular starting guy at the moment. You've got, I don't know, five or so of your pitchers who are currently on the either on the 60-day injured list or just not starting currently because they're just not good enough to be hacking it at this level. Like, they know this is the biggest need that they have, is that that ace, or at least someone who's a good 1-2 punch with Burnes. If they're going to get this done, and they're going to pay through the nose to do it, if they expect to get it done.
We'll see. How much time we got left on this?
They've got till 6 o'clock tomorrow. So, yeah, if they're going to make a move, they got to get it done quick. Time is of the essence here. Would be kind of funny if they also ended up being a team that made a move for Flaherty. I mean, really, really just shore up that rotation for the rest of the year. Maybe that's the additional player that gets thrown in, unless they see some potential in Torque. Unless they think that maybe he's still got it and has the potential to get it together, because Mike Elias certainly is big on his prospects and building the minor league system, because that's how they've got most of what's over there. Like, that's the way they've built it. They've done it, quote unquote, the right way, and maybe they see something in him that they think can be fixed. I'm not necessarily going to say for sure that's the case. Morosi had kind of alluded to it earlier today that that could be the case. But he is currently hitting down in Toledo, hitting a robust 246, which granted is about 30-40 points better than he was doing up here, but still not great. You'd like to see better. You'd really kind of like to see him turn it around. Maybe he needs fixing from an outside source of some sort. Maybe the guys over there in Baltimore can make it happen, because they've got a pretty solid lineup of almost entirely homegrown talent. Like, you look up and down that roster, I believe of those guys, your catcher Adley Rutschman, he's been with the only big league club he's ever been with. Same for Mountcastle. Gunnar Henderson's been there his entire major league career. Like, all these guys who are basically the core of that offense over there came up through this minor league system. So clearly there's something over there that they're doing right, and maybe they can fix Torque. Maybe he could be there, you know, be their everyday DH or something. It's kind of, there's very much a possibility that maybe that's the other piece that goes back the other way. And considering that he wasn't likely to flourish here ever, like, I would argue that he's probably had his last chance as a Tiger. I think it's definitely not something I'm opposed to if they decide that they're going to move on from him and throw him in as part of any potential Scooble deal. We'll see what happens. We're, you know, looking at another couple days here before, or another, you know, day or so before we have answers on that. And I feel like this starts the clock on the Scott Harris era. Very much so, like, for real. With either a trade or no trade. If you choose not to decide, you've still made a choice. And I do absolutely believe that's the biggest thing facing Scott Harris. And if he chooses not to act, then it's still going to start the clock on, all right, so you're now committing to either you are building for now and you're going to have to convince Chris Illich to open the purse strings this offseason, or you're committing to trading this guy and restocking the system that way. Choosing the status quo and then choosing not to do anything else from there is unacceptable at this point. I don't see how it can't be anything other than that. You can't say that, we believe in the core that we have and the guys that we have, so we're just going to press on, but we're not going to add anything around them. Even, just minor, depth pieces or bench bats or anything around them. And, we're happy with what we have and then not do anything further. So you got to do one or the other in my mind. Either you got to fully embrace the rebuild, or you have to, I guess, attempt this win now thing. Whichever. And we'll have a very good idea, I think, of which that is by the time the trade deadline comes around tomorrow. In the meantime, we got to hit a break. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. Yes, I know what you're thinking. You're not really tuning into happy hour for your Olympic coverage. I don't really blame you. I don't come here for that either. But it seems like there's something we probably have to discuss today.
Oh, everybody's so upset. The opening ceremony happened, and some of the opening ceremony... set this up for me. How am I trying to word this? How am I supposed to tiptoe around this?
Yeah, some folks are rather upset, if you will, about something that happened at the opening ceremony. Like, I didn't watch it. Go ahead and feel free to... come on, you think I watched the Olympics?
We're just badminton this thing around. Okay, all right. A bunch of people in, like, cosplay kind of things lined up and in, like, different kind of deities kind of ideas. And a lot of people thought it was mimicking or mocking...
The Last Supper.
The Last Supper. The famous painting. I believe that was... Who did that?
Da Vinci.
And a lot of people were just like, oh, they're making a mockery of Da Vinci's Last Supper. They're mocking Christianity. This is terrible. They're calling for boycotts of everybody involved. I just looked at it. I was like, I thought it was a Disney thing. I thought the Aladdin, a genie from Aladdin was in there. But no, that isn't. And apparently they... And I get it. When I first saw it, I saw The Last Supper too. But I also grew up around Christianity. I have The Last Supper hanging up in my dining room. It is what it is. But we have to realize that Americans, we are very ethnocentric. We really only think about us.
Us most, and literal nobody else.
Most Americans cannot tell you who is the leader of other countries. We call the championship in Major League Baseball the World Series.
Well, because it is. Because where do all the good athletes, all the good baseball players play? In MLB.
That's right. So when they see this, I saw it. I thought it was The Last Supper, but then it was explained to me that it was about Greek mythology, the Feast of Dionysus. And then I was like, okay, that makes sense.
Stands the reason because, it's the Olympics. Olympics were a Greek thing. And
yeah.
It kind of, this seems to check out.
Yeah. But, I mean, so it's that wasn't the intention. That's not what it was. Not everything's about Christianity. Sorry,
oh,
folks.
But everything is, and don't you dare, like, because it was either that, oh, they're mocking us, or it's, oh, this is satanic. Like,
yeah.
Which, quite frankly, so what if it is?
Well, I mean, we also learned in the 80s that if people don't understand something...
It's automatically satanic.
It's satanic.
I say, who said the satanic panic died with heavy metal music in the 80s?
Oh, no, it's still alive and well. If I don't understand something and I'm not going to want to learn about it, well, it's satanic. So I'm kind of...
I don't know what this means, therefore Satan.
Yeah. I'm kind of reading up a little bit about it, but I mean, we have to understand that the Olympics is multicultural. There's other, meaning there's other religions. I know. I'm just as shocked as you guys are out there. There is more than one religion out there, and, it's kind of tipping the cap to that. But like what you said, Sean, it's the Olympics started in Greece. It started out as a Greek thing, so
yeah.
They're kind of tipping the cap to the whole Greek thing. Now the organizer is like, oh yeah, I can kind of see where they would say it looked like the Last Supper. That wasn't the intention.
As it turns out, the Last Supper was actually ripped off of, you know.
Yeah. Da Vinci's is, Da Vinci is just like the Weird Al of paintings.
To be fair, though, like, you'd be amazed how many, you know, traditions in Christianity come from, like, from other, you know, pagan, were adapted from pagan religions or, you know, even the, like, the Greeks or the Romans or any of that. Like, a lot of that stuff, like, your Christmas and your Easter and all that, like, those were absolutely co-opted from pagan traditions. Like,
yep.
They don't like to acknowledge that part, but they are.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, I just
But think, you know, it's all Satan. We're not the center of attention, so therefore it's Satan.
Yeah, that could be.
Like, I don't care, and quite frankly wouldn't care if it was. You know, sit there and have you a nice satanic ritual on the opening night of the game. It's like, whatever.
Yeah, there's a lot of people
none of them are, so.
A lot of people were, like, complaining that they're, like, pushing the LGBTQ agenda with that thing.
Because there's apparently drag queens in it or something.
I guess.
So, basically, any time that LGBT people are allowed to exist in a public space, that's an issue now.
Yeah, pretty much. I guess so.
In certain corners, man. I don't get it. I don't understand it.
They don't get it. They don't understand it. It's just easier if they just decide to hate it.
No, it's... Hate's pretty easy to do. I know. I sit here and do it for, you know, for 3 hours a day or whatever it is.
Yeah, we've been known to dip into that well.
Well, I mean, I just hate everything in general. Like, not even necessarily of, you know, when it comes to politics, religion. I just hate everything. We do best around here, truthfully. No, the whole thing's just overblown for seemingly no real harm having been done.
Right. Yeah. Not really, but I mean, and what kills me is that, you know, Christianity, the Christians will say that, you know, the non-Christians are so easily offended. We're always offended. But they are the most offended people of all time. If their coffee cup doesn't say Merry Christmas, they get upset.
If you're not specifically wished a Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Instead, if you're at a Happy Holidays, that's an affront to your entire being, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, somebody got on me that one time at the Hitchin Post when I was playing a gig there. I was like, okay, well, happy holidays. It's Christmas. I was like, well, technically, it's the first night of Hanukkah, so happy Hanukkah. And I walked away.
L'chaim. L'chaim.
I'm not Jewish. Well, how was I supposed to know?
But yeah, you don't know. Why is it that being, you know, being inclusive of, you know, things that aren't, you know, the majority is such an issue to people.
I guess it is to some people, and some people just don't care.
I guess, but they care as soon as they're not front and center of things.
Yes, that is a true thing. Well, because for some people, it's just easy. Everything's God. Well, why is there a rainbow? God did it. Why is there this? God did it. Why did this happen? God did it. You know, it's easier than, like, learning about why things happened. And I'm probably getting myself down a rabbit hole that our listeners don't want to go down with me.
Yeah, that's probably true. But no, I don't get the upset, the outrage over this. Like, or really anything of this sort. Like, I'm very much big on, you know, if you can't make fun of the things you love, you don't deserve to make fun of the things you hate. So.
Yeah, there you go.
So, like, I feel like everything should absolutely, should be fair game. If you can make fun of our stuff, then you should be able to do the same right back to you.
I mean, well, the Pope just had, like, a bunch of stand-up comedians over at the Vatican, and this is not a joke. I mean, he actually did.
No, that was an actual thing that happened.
And
like,
he was like, it's perfectly acceptable to make fun, to have fun with the Catholic religion. Just don't be mean about it.
Right.
I mean, I guess that's in the eye of the beholder, but, you know, I mean...
Certainly.
When the Pope says it's okay to laugh...
Then, guys, you can laugh. No, for real. It's okay.
Yeah, you don't have to take things so seriously.
You are allowed to have a sense of humor. God's not going to smite you for that. I promise.
Yeah, you're not going to go to hell because somebody over on the other side of the world did something.
Yeah, because somebody made a joke.
Right.
It'll be fine. Trust me.
It'll be just fine.
It will. Promise. Oh, let's hit a break real quick. It is happy hour. We'll close this thing off next. guitars are just getting too smart for their own good, man.
It's only a matter of time.
And it's getting more so by the day. Apparently, Ford's really trying to accelerate that, and as someone who's bought Fords for, like, the last several cars I've owned have been Fords, and
yep.
If this is the kind of thing that starts coming into play, then that's something that may change. Ford is trying to patent a way for its cars to report speeding drivers to the police.
Oh, snitches get stitches.
A patent application from the automaker titled Systems and Methods for Detecting Speeding Violations was published by the United States Patent and Trademark Office on July 18th. It was originally filed by Ford January 12th of last year. In the application, Ford discusses using cars to monitor each other's speeds. If one car detects that a nearby vehicle is being driven above the posted limit, it could use onboard cameras to photograph the vehicle. A report containing both speed data and images of the targeted vehicle could then directly be sent to a police car or roadside monitoring unit via an internet connection.
Wow. Oh my God.
Using vehicles for speed surveillance would make cops' job easier as they wouldn't have to quickly identify speeding violations and take off in pursuit, Ford notes in the application. It also means some of that work could be delegated to self-driving cars, which could be equipped to detect speeding violations.
Oh my. Yeah.
I'm not down with this. Officer, not at all.
Officer, I was late for work, but I was not speeding. We got 22 different pictures from 22 different cars. They're all lying, officer.
Every single one of those is lying. I'm the only one who's telling you the truth.
They're all driving slow. I think you need to check their licenses. I think they're all drunk. Every single one of them, yeah. That yep. School bus, hammered. Every one of them.
Every single one was hammered.
I mean, there she is. Bus is stopped in the middle of the road. Red light's going on. Kids getting on. I mean, what kind of weird things has she got going on?
Yeah, that
just drove. I just drove right past it.
That doesn't sound very safe at all, if you ask me.
I said, school zone. I graduated. I don't go to school. They said, slow children at play. I'm like, oh, isn't that... Well, bless her heart.
No, I would hope that they wouldn't be insane enough to actually implement something like this. Because you know that's not going to go over well for a lot of people. You're going to have a lot of unhappy owners of cars. Like, I, for one, am not buying a car that, A, is monitoring my speed enough and sending it to the cops, but also... I'm not buying one that's going to snitch on someone else's car.
Yeah, how would you like to be that guy? You know, I passed you on the way to the concert. We were all caravanning down to the concert. I passed by you, and now I got a ticket? Your car sucks, dude.
Like, you find out, oh, that's an exhibit now presented in court or whatever. You go to fight the speeding ticket. Well, this car right here, license plate such and such, yeah. Driven by this guy who lives at this address, says you were speeding.
I'd like to call my first witness. It's a Kit. Hello, Michael. I'm sorry I had to come to this. I change oils. Change oil every 3,000 miles, and this is the thanks I get.
You're going to the junkyard.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to park the car right here. This is a bad side of town, Michael. Yeah, it sure is, Kit. Anyway, I got an Uber that doesn't rat me out. I don't like this, Michael. Some people are underneath my hood. Right? Michael! Step on it.
He just took my catalytic converter, Michael.
Yeah, right. That's it. Yeah, catalytic converter. Now I'm really loud. Oh, yeah, he's got to call his friend Herbie. Was it Herbie the Love Bug's got to show up? Lightning McQueen when he's not, you know, in a junkyard, right. Ready to get crushed. I mean, it's bad enough when you have like they put up those temporary signs that track your speed.
Right.
And it'll flash at you too fast, too fast, too fast. You know, That's a pain in the rear as it is.
Or like in our hometown where there's a permanent one that's set up that, you know, sometimes just like, let's see if I can get the high score tonight.
Right. I want to drop it down to like 5 miles an hour and see if it says too fast. Oh, thank you. Too slow. It's not a parade. Speed up.
Right. Do you get anything? Do you get yelled at the other way if you're not going fast enough?
Yeah, I would think so. Because we've all been behind a car where it's just like, oh, okay, look, I don't know if you...
I have been, and you've been the one driving it.
Yeah. Hey, drive like hell, and you'll get there.
Yeah, but... I'm trying to. That's the point.
Yeah, right. So a car that rats you out... Okay, car makers, you know, you got a lot of money bailing you out not that long ago. I still remember... A lot of people still remember. Now all of a sudden you're taking that money and using it for research and development to mess with us. Like, how wasn't it that long ago we were talking about a car company that basically wanted to you were going to rent heating and cooling in the car. It was going to be a subscription.
It wasn't that long ago we were talking about cars that could self repossess. I believe that was another Ford patent, actually, come to think of it.
Yeah, what's with you, Ford?
We're literally going to have the car signal a tow truck to come pick you up, or the car will start just driving itself back to your bank.
There was something I was supposed to do today. Honey, did you make the car payment? Oh, no! So here your car start up, pull on the driveway. Kit, no! You're late on your payment, Michael.
Now, it gets worse here. Ford has also tried to patent a night drive mode that would limit vehicle speeds at night for everyone, including first responders.
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm in a car accident because my self-driving car decided a brick wall was a drive-thru.
Apparently you decided you hadn't made your payment. And if we're not getting paid for this, you're not driving it one way or the other.
Yep. And then, you know...
Are they trying to throw you out like a bucking Bronco or something?
There you go.
It just disconnects the seatbelt, opens the car, and just starts shaking back and forth, trying to get you out of it.
Here comes Colt Johnson. He's driving that 2027 Ford Explorer, and he hasn't made a payment in 3 months. And there he goes, folks. He's holding on for dear life.
He checked your seat right out of the sunroof.
Oh, right out of the sunroof, and here come the rodeo clowns. Come here, honk, 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 honk.
Yeah, you already think that's bad enough, so now you get in an accident.
Yeah, and the guard's like, all right, we gotta go. There's been an accident at Main Street and Elm Street. We gotta go, and the woo, woo, and the guard's like, just driving at 30 miles an hour. Come on. I can run faster than this.
Here's only going 25 miles an hour. Like, yeah.
First responder, it was like third responder. The pizza guy got there before you, dude.
Well, yeah, because the pizza guy can't afford one of those fancy cars. So yeah, he's still driving. He's still safe.
He's still driving a Dodge Neon.
Still like it's like a 94 Chevy Cavalier.
I got to get this pizza. Go. Oh, man, you look like you've been in a car accident. Yeah, I'm waiting for the first responder, but I got one of those new vehicles. It only drives 50 miles an hour at night. I'm going to die, aren't I? No, come on. I got pizza for you. Get in.
Yeah, pizza guys are always the last to adopt that tech because we can't afford nice cars. If we can't afford a nice car, you think we're really using it to deliver pizza? Yeah,
no,
right.
No, you're gonna have that technology that rats you out when you're driving fast. You're gonna get a $20 tip on that pizza, and you're gonna get a $300 ticket getting there because you got your car ratting on you and every other car ratting on you. That's just bad technology, man. Ford, what happened? You got a lot of money bailing you out in the 2020 aughts.
Yeah, we spent a lot of money keeping you guys in business, and this is the thanks we get.
You want
cars
make,
that snitch.
Snitch, drive away from you when you don't make the payments. You have to pay a subscription charge if you want heat and air conditioning.
Like, the next brakes are going to be
I'm sorry. The option you chose, brakes, has been expired. Enter your credit card number now. You better make it quick.
Because we all know there's nothing more that people love than, you know, downloadable content that you have to pay extra for at video games. Why not take that to cars?
Yeah, we caught you on your phone. Yeah, because I was trying to update my credit card information.
Doesn't care. We've already sent your information to the police.
And a couple of scammers offshore. So, you know, you'll be hearing from them.
Yeah, I hear they've come to a large sum of money that they need you to help them access somehow.
Yeah. Hi, I'd like to know if you're still driving that 2024 Ford Explorer that rats on you. Okay, I just want to know if you wanted car insurance on it. Car insurance? No, I want to beat it to death with a bat.
No, they've been trying to reach you about your car's extended warranty for a while, so.
Jake from State Farm can. I ain't getting anything for this car. I don't want any insurance. I'm not changing its oil. This rat fink. No, it's snitches getting ditches.
Oh, absolutely. I can't imagine. Like, even. I can't imagine that Ford would actually put this into use. Like, I mean, maybe this is the kind of thing they put on actual cop cars, but, like, who would buy the Snitchmobile? That's what I want to know. Other than, like, some Karen somewhere that wants to have new and creative ways to intrude on people's business, who's buying the Snitchmobile?
You know who it is? Is parents buying it for a 16-year-old kid. Yeah, we got you a car there, Billy. Check it out. You got the Snitch 3000. Oh, Dad, this sucks. Yeah, yeah. It tells you when you're speeding. It only goes up to 50 miles an hour at night. It definitely tells if there's any kind of moisture in the back seat there, son. So, you know, be careful. My dad, he'd been fine with all that. It just, if I went 3,001 mile without changing the oil, an alarm would go off on his phone. He would make sure of it.
Right. This is why I'm thankful at times that we grew up in an era where the technology wasn't quite as rampant as it is now. Obviously, you more so than I,
because
I still came up in the era of the internet, although not necessarily when smartphones were ubiquitous yet.
No.
But
yeah, summer of 97, Drew and I would have been all over YouTube, not by choice.
No. No good would have come from that. There are some things that are just sometimes better left to they're just better left to
unsaid, unheard of, and just
generally unknown.
In our memory banks forever, and that's it.
In our memory banks, just minding their own business and not, you know, being shared.
It's good having dirt on a friend that you could bring out should you need.
Nope, exactly.
Nobody in this building is running for president, I'll tell you that much.
Well, certainly not. Look, there are enough things that we've said on the air of this radio station over the years that would absolutely disqualify any of us from major office. I'm probably disqualified from running for, like, drain commissioner at this point.
You have too many drops that, you know, just keeps me from becoming president. Adam Herrock wants to become your president. Is he really the guy that you want running the country when he says things like this?
I have chlamydia.
They didn't mean to hit the remix. There's only so many things on this board that I can hit on during terrestrial hours, sir.
Yeah, right.
There's a reason the drops have kind of gone away, because you have really just said some things.
I've
over
said
the
some
years.
Things, yeah.
Listen, honey, I'm an idiot.
Yeah, Drew's in studio and he reminds us that his mind is clogged with Goldschlager dust.
Yeah, my memory bank is empty. You guys are talking about memory banks, and they need to stay in our memory banks. Apparently, you came equipped with different technology than I was born with, because my memory bank is an empty vault full of Goldschlager dust. There's no memories left in. Like, I have vague memories of.
Well, your first problem is you're drinking Goldschlager.
Yeah. It's.
We drank everything.
Yeah, what was that stuff that had the crystals in it? Post Goldschlager, aftershock,
avalanche, and aftershock.
Yeah,
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, I think they took it off the market.
They had cinnamon and peppermint, and basically the inside of the bottle was lined with cinnamon and peppermint rock candy.
Yeah,
in like a stalactite or stalagmite, whichever one grows up.
They
from
can't
the
even
ground.
Legally do that anymore.
Stalagmite was the one that comes up.
Yeah, so there was stalagmite.
Aren't we as an amateur geologist over here?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. If Adam knows anything, it's about stones.
I'm getting stoned. But yeah. So to circle back, wow, we ran all over the place. We went down a wormhole.
We did. We do that a lot. Yeah. No. So the moral of the story is, I don't need my car snitching on me. I don't need my car snitching on other people.
Yeah.
Why can't the cars just mind their own business, Ford?
That's right.
Snitches get stitches.
And they get put into ditches.
They definitely. Yeah. That's probably far more applicable in this case. Anyway, we got to go. We'll be back, tomorrow at 3 to discuss the ramifications of whatever it is the Tigers do leading up to the trade deadline at 6 o'clock. In the meantime, a full hour of local original music is up next on a little show we like to call Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya!